Welcome to the National Community Church Podcast. We're thrilled to be able to share this weekend's message with you from Pastor Joel Schmidgall. You can find us on national.cc or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
I'm getting baptized today. It's an act of obedience and love towards God. And I'm giving him my life as a testimony.
I am leaving behind addiction. I am leaving behind fear. I am walking in this new beginning for my life with God.
Today, I leave behind guilt, shame, and a reliance on myself and step fully into reliance on Jesus and his plan for me.
I'm getting baptized because I want to leave behind all my sins.
Leaving behind doubt and sin.
A lot of doubt, guilt, and shame.
I've decided to get baptized today because I'm choosing to leave all of my past sins behind.
I'm leaving behind pain and fear and stepping into a new chapter of my life.
I'm giving my life to God today, and I just want a new beginning with God.
So now I want to find my way back with all my heart.
Now his love is bubbling up out of me, and I'm so ready to tell the world that I'm all his.
I'm getting baptized because 4,812 days ago, I gave my life to Christ and got saved. And today I will take my first breaths as a new child born and given to the living God. Amen.
I'm leaving behind all frustration, doubts, and worries, and I'm ready to spend the rest of my life serving Christ Jesus.
Today, I'm leaving behind all my worries, all my fears, all my doubts, all of the things of the past, and I'm turning over a new and better chapter with God.
I believe in God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I believe in His Word. I leave behind all the doubt created by the world's lies for complete faith and belief in our Lord and Savior.
I'm getting baptized today to leave behind shame and guilt and unforgiveness. And I'm believing for a God who made us so that we can be happy, who doesn't require us to earn his love, and who forgives us.
Even though I grew up immersed in the church, I don't think my heart was fully there. When I got to college, I found genuine faith in God, and I'm getting baptized today to express my belief in Jesus and thankfulness for his love.
You, Father, have been calling me, and I'm leaving behind my will. I surrender it all. I'm walking into your will, Father. God, in my watching, in my waking, in my doing, in my sleeping. Thank you, Father.
We kicked off a series called The Good Life. And as I watch this video, I see the images of our brothers and sisters stepping into faith. You know what I see? I see the goodness of God. I see joy in their faces. I see contentment. I see delight in the Lord. You know what I see? I see tov. Tov means good. But it doesn't just mean good. It means a rich, deep, fulfilled goodness that comes only through God. And as I reflected and meditated on last week on what Pastor Mark talked about, this poignant unpacking of this multidimensional word and how we achieve it, here's what I realized. To get to good, you gotta go through grace. To get to good, you have to go through God's grace. The greatest good is found through the greatest difficulty. Those weren't just fleeting moments of happiness that we saw in the images, in the faces, right? No, we saw some people who have been into the valley, who have been into the mess, and they've come out on the other side with the hope that only comes through Jesus. The fact is this, that many of us live in surface level good instead of deep-seated goodness. We live in a fleeting moment of pleasure versus a grace journey to joy, and we're satisfied with instant gratification. It's like going to Fago de Chao and you're having the little cheese stick appetizers, right? And it's okay. But then you get up and you leave before the main course ever shows up. No, there are 13 cuts of meat coming to your table. There is a parade of meats that will show up And Pastor Chris, there is a filet wrapped in bacon with our name on it. Come on, somebody. I'm preaching food today. It's coming. I was talking to Casey J, our worship leader, and she's like, well, I don't eat meat. So I said, well, maybe it's like chicken and waffles. Is it Satan? Is that how you say it? Satan's shit? I know, it's Satan. It's like chicken and waffles showing up, but those plantains. And so I'm just saying, food is good. But separately, I'm off track. We settle for surface level good before we ever get to the significant sustenance. We have traded joy for pleasure, conviction for compromise, wisdom for information, biblical correctness for social acceptance, holiness for convenience, principle for success. And the Apostle Paul speaks to this in our text today. It's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says this. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. For many of us here, we're stuck. We're in a rut. We're having difficulty. Our spirit is low. Our mind is stressed. Our sleep is interrupted. Our countenance is constantly frustrated and in anger. We say, yes, I would like Tov. I want that image of Tov in my life, but how do I get there? I'll tell you how to get there. It's a road called grace. Verse 4 and 5, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. Grace. Jesus took what I deserved, and he gave me what he deserved. Grace, God's riches at Christ's expense for you and I. Nina said it this way. She said, there's no higher hope, no greater tomorrow, no more meaningful future, no more worthy cause to live for than to reflect on the praise and the glory of God's good grace. Being a believer is not just about being a fixed up sinner, right? It's not just finding a new moral code. It's not just a self-improvement plan. No, coming before God and receiving him, it's about being born again. You are made new in Christ. Here's what the word says, 2 Corinthians 5. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is what? He is a new creation. The old has passed away. The old is gone. The old is 6 feet under. And guess what? The new is here. The new has come. You are a new creation in Christ. How does that even happen? It's a road called grace. We receive his grace. Verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. So the road is grace, but the vehicle is faith, right? And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Christianity is unique in this sense that you can't work your way to God. You can't earn your salvation. No, God has already done the work. He has laid the tracks for us, and we've just got to receive it. We've just got to stick around and wait on. We've just got to accept what he has already given to us. I am not saved because I am good. I'm good because I'm saved. Thank you for your grace, God. We are not saved by good works. We are saved for good works. Verse 10 says it this way, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. The ESV says that we are God's workmanship. The New Living Translation says that we are God's masterpiece. And it's this Greek word poema. You might have heard this before. It's where we get our English word poem, but it's broader than that. It's any work of art. It could be a sculpture. It could be a song. It could be an architectural drawing. It could be a poem. But we are God's work of art. We are his masterpiece. It's this word that it's only used one other time in the New Testament, and it's found in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. And it says that the existence of God is made evident in the creation that he has made. So when we stand before the judge at the end of our lives, he'll remind us when you were out looking at those majestic mountains, looking at the roaring seas, looking at that incredible sunset, and the goodness of God is just evident, isn't it? The goodness of God is just there. It's shown in creation, and God says, okay, you like that? You like that cove right there? You like that scenic mountain? You like that sunset? Well, guess what? My masterpiece is coming. Guess what? And he makes you, and he makes you, and he makes me, and he says, you are my masterpiece. You are my work of art that I have created in my image. I like the way that H.B. Charles observes this. He says, the Bible doesn't say humanity is God's masterpiece. You got to go to church to see some people who have been lost in their trespasses, to see some people who have been dead in their sin, to see some people who have been overlooked and overcome and bound in addiction. And then God takes them and makes them brand new. And God picks them up and gives them life. Come on, somebody's got a testimony in the house today. I know somebody's been changed. I know somebody has been hiking on the trail of grace. Maybe we forget we've been lost in our mess, how jacked up and raggedy our lives were, right? We were lost in all of the chaos of this world and of our own sinfulness. But come on, somebody help me today. But he picked us up. He turned us around. He placed our feet on solid ground. I thank the Master. I thank the Savior. I thank God. Come on, somebody's with me. Y'all sing that song, right? He has made us new through his grace. Step out in faith. Pastor Skip Herzog said this. He said, if a surgeon can operate in a jungle with a pocket knife, that's a good surgeon. If a builder can erect a home with an old hammer and a bent up handsaw, that's an exquisite builder. If a musician can play Beethoven's Ninth Symphony on a flute made of a piece of bamboo, that's an accomplished musician. If God can change the world through dead people, through sinful people, through people who are lost, but he picked them up, he reanimated them, and he saved them. That right there is a good God. He saved you from sin, and he called you into service. And so we get on a road of grace, but that road of grace, it leads us to a highway of purpose. It says it in Ephesians, and we see the arc throughout Ephesians 2, 1 through 10. It starts with what we're saved from. And then it talks about who saves us, leads into 8 and 9, how we're saved. And then we come to verse 10, what we are saved for. And it says this, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Thank you. I'm trying to get a little help today. We are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. His good works come out of us when we find his grace. It's a natural reaction. It's an overflow of the grace of God coming through us. In the midst of a self-centered, self-focused, and consumerist culture, we need some people to stand up and declare good. We need some people to stand up and be good. We need some people to stand up and do good, to begin to act in a life of good deeds. Abraham Heschel said it this way. He said, no religious act is performed in which prayer is not present. What is a sacred act? I love this. A prayer in the form of a deed. How do we effectively live out God's good works? And I want to spend the rest of our time, I'm going to give six practical ways to live out the good works of God. Number one, if you're taking notes, you can jot this down. If you got your NCC app, you can open it up and you'll see notes in there as well. But number one is this, identify your people. You know that we have 857 people doing the prayer walk challenge right now. Yeah. Pretty cool. A lot of us doing this in our neighborhoods, pouring out God's blessing, praying God's goodness. And that's exactly what we're doing in our neighborhoods. And so I know for me, I'll go prayer walking at night. And when I go out, first thing I do is just, I start declaring God's goodness all over the place because I'll get distracted. Anybody else? I start walking and, oh my goodness, look at their lawn. I need to, well, that's not very good. Maybe I can get I can help them out, or that reminds me of the thing I got it, right? And so I just started declaring God's goodness out loud, right? We got plenty of people in the city who just talk while they walk, right? Whether they're on their phone or they're talking to their imaginary friend, we just talk while we walk in the city. So I'm just talking to God while I'm walking, declaring God's goodness over the alley, declaring God's goodness over that person walking their dog, declaring God's goodness over my neighbors. But here's what I pray. God, take my declarations and turn them into relationships along the way, right? You have to go from praying over principle to praying over person and then making it personal. So God, take me to the person. So on your way, and you got a card, and if you're online joining us, we actually have this on the NCC app. It's a resource that you can find there as well. But you got a card. It's a Bless 5 card. It's a prayer list, and it's nothing fancy. It's just 5 blank spaces. But the goal right here is that who's your 5? Who are 5 people in your neighborhood that God is prompting you just to be a blessing? And this is an accountability mechanism. Write down those names. Who are those names that God has given to you? And then turn your card over and you'll see an acrostic, just a prayer tool to equip you as you're praying. And you can do this any way you want to do it. But here's one suggestion. You just take the B, you're praying over body. You do that on Monday. All right, Lord, I'm thanking you for good health for this family. God, I pray that you would bring healing to this person in my neighborhood. You just start to pray. And then the second day, Tuesday, you pray over labor. In fact, this week, I took an entire prayer walk, and I prayed for one neighbor who is losing their job. And they're trying to figure out what they're going to do, how they're going to provide for their family. So I just took the whole prayer walk, and the whole time, I was just praying in the Spirit for them. And I felt like God gave me this prophetic encouragement. And I just started praising God in that. And then I shared that with them and kind of picked up their spirit. So you pray into labor, then emotions, praying joy and peace into your neighborhood, into their houses, and social is relationships. God's gonna open up relationships as you step out in faith. And then pray that he'll open up opportunities for faith conversations. And that's exactly what he'll do if you're faithful in your prayers. I was walking, and we have a business around the corner that's really great food. And so I might stop by there a time or two. But I got to know the owner a little bit. And one night he was just sharing with me about the difficulty after their business hours close. Nefarious actions then occur in the front of their yard after hours. And so I just shared with them, you know what? I prayer walk every night. I'll be prayer walking, and I'm going to move my prayer walk to make sure I'm coming around your business. So I'm just going to start covering you in prayer, and I can also be on your security team, if you will. And that just opened up a door. And so I check in often, and I begin to build a relationship with the person. And I don't have time, but there's actually been some things that have come out of that experience. So God will open up relationships as you step out in faith. There's a study that was done by Dr. Robert Waldinger. He's the author of The Good Life. Maybe we're checking out during this series. And he helped lead an 80-year Harvard study of adult development. It's the longest of its kind. In fact, he's the 4th executive director of this over 80 years. But just a simple finding, the foundational finding was this. The key to health and happiness is healthy relationships. Took 80 years to find that out. Okay. You know what's so cool, though, when I see that? When you're leaning into your neighborhood, you are literally bringing good health into your neighborhood. That is called pouring out blessing. Find your people, number one. Number two, obey the promptings. Have you ever been praying? And you just sense a prompting to do something from the Lord. The scriptures give language to this in Romans chapter 8, verse 14. It calls it being led by the Spirit of God. And my mom, she does this crazy thing in faith. When she senses those promptings in prayer, she actually does them. And so she'll stop. She'll go bake a loaf of zucchini bread for somebody. She'll stop and pray for somebody's healing. She'll invite somebody, this last week, in for tea, and then spend the next 2 hours that she was planning on doing something else just talking and ministering to them. She was on the way to the hospital one day, and her neighbor had emergency surgery, and so she decided to go visit her in the hospital. And on her way to the hospital, she felt a prompting as she was praying that she should go buy them lotion. She thought, this is kind of weird. That would be weird if I showed up with lotion. But She does this weird thing. She obeys promptings, stops, buys lotion, goes to the hospital room. She walks in. The neighbor says, why do you have lotion? She says, well, I just felt like I was praying for you. The Lord prompted me to stop and get, and the neighbor said this. They said, I've just been praying and so overcome and just ask God, do you even care about me? If you care about me, will you just bring some lotion, Lord? And you showed up with lotion to the hospital room. I'm not making this up. That's kind of weird, but maybe that's providence. And it opened up the door for her to just start ministering and praying over her neighbor. The goal is not action. The goal is obedience. I think sometimes we miss the point because we're trying to work for God instead of allowing God to work through us. It's just like grace, right? I can't earn it. I can't work for it, but I can receive it. God desires to co-mission with you, but it's going to be him who does the good work. And guess what? The scripture says this at the end of our verse. It says, he has already prepared good works in what? In advance for you to step into. He has an encouragement agenda already laid out for you this week. Do you know that? He has a miracle agenda ready for you to step into. He has a faith-sharing agenda for you to step into. So step out boldly this week. Open your eyes up. Can I say that again? Open your eyes up. I'm gonna say it one more time. Open up your eyes. You know what I'm doing? I'm preaching to myself because when I'm out prayer walking, I have to constantly remind myself, open up your eyes. Joel, that's not an annoyance. That's an opportunity. Open up your eyes, Joel. That's not a distraction. That's an opportunity. Open up your eyes, Joel. That's not something to walk away from. That's something to walk towards. Wake us up, God, to co-mission with you. Number three, be the translation. Be the translation. A number of years ago, I was struggling as a dad. And I wonder if you have, if you're a parent of young kids, if you might relate with me just a little bit here. And you're just trying everything you can, right? And it's just not working. But you're trying to say the right things. You're trying to do the right things. You're trying to model the right things. And then, okay, I think I did it. I think I got it. I think it's working. And then they walk away and then they just go whack their sibling around the head. And you're like, oh, dear Jesus, where? Show up, God. You know, when you start kind of giving commands to God, not the wisest thing, but it just comes out, right? Where are you, good God Almighty? Where you start? And you start preaching to yourself. And so I'm in one of those seasons where I'm just a bit discouraged as a parent. It's not just the kids, it's myself too, right? My own mistakes, my own faults and failures as a parent that I'm really not doing. And so I just decided for 40 days, I'm just gonna pray in the spirit every night over my kids. And my uncle gave some great advice. This one's for free. I love this one. He said, you know what? When you have young kids, you have every night after they fall asleep, go in and just look at them because you'll remember that you love them. That's genius. Kind of true. So I'm just going to go in after sleep. I'm just going to pray in the spirit for 40 straight days over my kids. You know, the scripture talks about this. It uses different language. It says that the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in other tongues, right? We call it on their tongues or a prayer language or a heavenly language or praying in the spirit. And we see it in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. It's all over the scriptures. So I'm just going to, and it's God actually praying through us. When I don't have the words adequate to what the Lord can and is willing and wants to do in us and around us. And so I'm just 40 days because I'm desperate, you guys. I fall so short. God, thank you for your grace as a dad where I just fall short. I'm sorry when I mess up. I'm sorry when I fall short. So God, give me grace. So I'm just praying in the spirit. And then we see in the scripture that it says, okay, it's God praying through you, but if that's for the edification of the family, of the body, there has to be an interpretation of that, right? And so I started praying, okay, God, I'm gonna pray in the spirit at night, but will you make my life an interpretation during the day? God, use me during the day. And it was really powerful for me as a father because I felt like during the day, I had more of a prophetic edge. on my parenting, seeing and calling things out. And it's not, probably not always, the kids don't always enjoy it, right? Like, thus saith your father, get to your room. So let it be written, so let it be done, right? Like, you get a little bit more confident and bold, but I'm just trying to step in and lean in. God, I need your strength. I need to be the translation to your family of God's grace. Be the translation to your neighborhood of the grace of God. I have a friend that he's an accountability partner right now through these 40 days of praying into our neighborhood, because I need that. I don't know about you. You might be perfectly self-motivated, but sometimes I need somebody else to help me do what I know I need to do, right? And so then you get somebody else in your life. And so Jim is such a wonderful blessing to me, and he's been sharing. We just, every day at the end of the day, we just touch base about what God spoke to us. And so he's sharing about his prayer walks, and he didn't realize there was a person living on the streets in his neighborhood. And so the prayer walks have opened his eyes to that. So he's started reaching out, and initially there was just ignoring and indifference to him. And then there was an acknowledgement, and then he continued to be a translation, and then actually bought a gift card for Safeway to be able to buy them some food. And it just started opening. We were even talking about it yesterday, and then it opens up conversation. Now they know him by name, and conversation is happening, and even some anxiety is coming out in those conversations. And he is being a translation of an interpretation of the grace of God in those that God has placed in his path. God wants to use you as a translation to those around you. Number four, sing a song. I love Oscar Wilde's quote, said this: you don't love someone for their looks, clothes, car, but because they sing a song that only you can hear. A year ago, when we moved to our place, I would open up the window in the front of our house as I would work in the yard, because I loved to hear my daughter playing and singing the piano. And so it just brings so much life to me. And so at one point, though, our neighbor came over and said, "So who's the piano player in your family?" And immediately I was like, "Oh, shoot. I guess other people can hear that too, right?" And so I'm sorry. I apologize. I wasn't thinking about that. I always open the window. And I was also nervous because we have a hoop in the back of our yard. And about 25 times we've gone and knocked on his door because the ball gets thrown over the fence and he's got to go get it. And this is a family that has owned this house since 1954. So they've got some gravitas in the neighborhood. So you're a little nervous of rocking the boat. You know what I mean? And so I'm kind of nervous, so I apologize for that. And he's like, "You know what? I want to tell you something." He said, "We haven't had kids in this neighborhood for quite some time, and our neighborhood has been missing those sounds. We need the sounds of somebody playing and singing on the piano. We need the sounds of a bouncing ball and popping over." He said, "Don't ever apologize for me having to get the basketball out of my backyard." He said, "And I love the piano. Tell your daughter to keep singing." I was just so blessed by that. And that's my kind of neighbor, right? Like, I struck you rich right there. That was incredible. I have had some other neighbors. Anybody else? Like, thank you, God, for this blessing. I'm supposed to be neighbored, but he's neighboring me. And I thank you. But second, you know what? God has given you a song. Sing your song. God has given you a ball. Shoot that ball. Whatever God has given you, use it. Now, you got to be careful. Sometimes you got to close the window. Sometimes I got a net. I put it up in the backyard to catch some of those balls not going over. So you have to be respectful, but sing your song in a respectful and a gifting way, which leads us to our next point, which is this: gift your gifts. 1 Peter 4:10, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. When we're playing ball in the alley, we'll often stop to people who are walking through the alley and, "Come on, I got a quick shot for you. Hey, take one. You know, hey, heads up." And we'll just try to involve people while we're playing out back. At one point, we actually pulled our electric piano, the synthesizer outside. Is that what you call it? Synthesizer? We pulled it outside, and Ella just did an impromptu concert for our immediate neighbors right around us. But what has God given you that can be used as a blessing to your neighborhood? Make your possessions a prayer. This week, instead of prayer walking one day, I decided to prayer mow. And this is a blessing to me. One of our neighbors, Tina, just blessed me because She gave us, she had an old mower that they didn't use anymore, and so a gas mower. She gave us a gas, I have a gas mower in the city. That's, I might as well own a unicorn, right? That's pretty unique. And so I guess, so I'm like, I'm going to prayer mow today. So I mowed ours, and then I just kept going all the way down to the end of the block. I'm just mowing everybody's yard. Then I went the other way, five houses up this way. I'm just going to prayer mow in the name of Jesus. Bless them. Oh, Lord, they got some things going on, I can tell. And Ezekiel prayers, right? And I'm just praying. And you know, one neighbor I just haven't had the chance to meet. I've wanted to meet him for a long time, and they're always coming and going and busy. And when somebody mows your yard, though, you will talk to them. And so we had a conversation. I got to know them. I got to know their story. I got to meet their older daughter, who's off in college, and just open up relationship. At the end of that conversation, she just said this. She said, "Thanks for being such a good neighbor." And that was my Tov moment for the week right there. That was such a blessing to me that I can be generous and blessing to those around me, and God will open up doors of relationship. What has he given you to give away? D.L. Moody said this, every Bible should be bound in shoe leather. He's given you something. Go give it away. Put your shoes on. Bless your neighbors. Gift your gifts. And last is this, minister a quarter at a time. Fred Craddock was sharing with pastors, and he spoke about discipleship in our instant society. And listen to what he said. He said, "To give my life for Christ appears glorious. To pour myself out for others, to pay the ultimate price of martyrdom, I'll do it. I'm ready, Lord, to go out in a blaze of glory." We think giving to the Lord is like taking a $1,000 bill, laying it on the table. Here's my life, Lord, I'm giving it all. But the reality for most of us is that he sends us to the bank. He has us cash in the $1,000 for quarters. We go through life putting out 25 cents here, 50 cents there. Listen to the neighbor's kid's troubles instead of saying, get lost. Go to a committee meeting. Give a cup of water to a shaky old man in a nursing home. Usually giving our life to Christ isn't glorious. It's done in all those little acts of love. 25 cents at a time. It would be easy to go out on a flash of glory. It's harder to live the Christian life little by little over time. Worship team, you can come. You don't have to give $1,000 away this week. But you know what? You can sing a song. You can buy some lotion. You can play a game. You can listen to the promptings of the Lord. You can prayer mow. You can do a little act of service. You can pay attention to the person that nobody else pays attention to. But remember this, that you have been led to a road called grace. He has called you out. He has made you new. Can I just say I've witnessed his goodness in you? I've witnessed testimony in this house. I've witnessed healing. I've witnessed growth and development. I've witnessed seeing the way that God uses you to bless me or to bless the people around you. Other people are better because of your life. I've witnessed it in you. I have witnessed the grace of God on you. I've witnessed his peace in you. And I've witnessed his calling in front of you. And so let's step out in purpose. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.